Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Good morning, good evening, everyone. Julie, could you be so kind to help me do a roll call?
Certainly. On the call, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. On the call, we have Olga Cavalli, Claudio De Ganji, and Chuck Gomes. From staff, we have Glenda Saint-Jury and Julie Hedlund.
Hi, Chuck. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, and before we're starting the call, and thank you for joining, we were talking with Julie and with Glenn about our deadline to submit in our outcome to the OSC. And Chuck, please correct me if I'm wrong, and Julie reminded me about this. The document should be first submitted to the OSC and then to the GNSO. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we have more time because I was confused and I thought it should go first to the GNSO and then to the OSC, and that would give us less time. So in light of the deadline in the 1st of June, which is challenging for us, I have been checking all the comments in the list, which, by the way, are very interesting and very diverse, and I tried to summarize them. I couldn't. I tried to make a big table and put them all together, but then I realized it didn't make any sense because they were different and focused on different things in the document. So I don't know what you think, and I would like to hear from you other ideas, but I think we have to go through the document still and trying to find a common text that fits the ideas of the working team, and if someone doesn't agree, then they can submit a minority report. There is no other way to work the document. And I also agree with Chuck that doing it in the wiki is quite complicated. I myself had some difficulties in reading the document with all the breakthroughs and the signs in the text, and I found difficult to realize which was the final wording and the final reduction of it. So I was thinking about perhaps we could work, I think Chuck suggested this, we could work on a Word document with a thinner version without the strike throughs and with control of changes. Do you think this is a feasible idea or that would help us better working the document?
Olga, you don't have to, I don't think, if you're working on a Word document, you don't have to eliminate the strike throughs and things like that. It's pretty clear in a Word document when you're using.
Yeah, right.
It's in the wiki where it's very confusing.
The wiki is confusing, and we are not using the wiki as perhaps we could. Is that we all edit the document? We are not doing this, which is okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's the facility and the. What a wiki works well when many people edit in the same document, but that wouldn't make sense for us because we are so many and we want to see the different views. So I would propose after this call, perhaps, Julie, you could help us prepare a Word document and we can work it using changes control and that appears in the right side with small boxes with comments. You think that would help?
Olga, this is Julie. I'm happy to do that. It'll take a little bit of time because I'll now have to take the wiki. It would have been better if we'd started with a Word document first, but I'll have to take the wiki and then.
I don't know. I mean,
I have to take. Maybe I can take the original document. Maybe that's what I'll do and make the changes that we have in the wiki. I'll just do it. I'll just print out the wiki and do it because it's. I can't really copy and paste out of the wiki because none of that will show up as, you know, properly in Word. You really have to start with the original Word document and then make the changes that we've made on the wiki into the Word document so they're shown as, you know, deletions and strike-throughs and so on. So I don't think I can do that, absolutely. I just don't think I will be able to complete it today. It probably will not.
No. And I don't want to overload you with work, but... also, I think that we, at the end, we will submit a Word document or a PDF that will
of
be
course.
Done through the Word
either way, it has to be in a Word document. And fortunately, I will say that because we have not begun work on task one, subtask three, Krista and Tony's document, that one, you know, we'll just simply use the Word document that she sent around and make changes to that. And that, of course, will simplify things greatly, as opposed to working in the wiki at all on that one, I would recommend.
Okay. So, and also I would like to ask you if you can start working on a final document that has a subtask one document, which is already reviewed. And I haven't heard any comments about Krista and Tony document. It has been already circulated a while ago. So perhaps you can add it to the general document as it is now. And if we don't hear anything, maybe in 1 week more, we can consider it approved. And still working on this subtask 2 document.
Certainly. I can go ahead and make these all one document. And I am then, in doing so, assuming that the changes we have, you know, in the wiki on, you know, task one, subtask one, are approved as they stand. I mean, that's, and so I guess my question would be, in combining these into one document, is it not necessary then to show the final version, task one, subtask one, as strike through and additions and so on, because the work team has agreed to those, or is it necessary to leave them in as additions and deletions? I'm not sure.
I think that the edited version with all the changes and strike throughs and all that could remain in the wiki as reference.
Oh, right. But what I'm saying is, if I'm combining all three of these subtasks into one document, shall I show the additions and deletions in task one, subtask one, which we've completed and approved, as, you know, changes, you know, as deletions, additions, or simply as text, final text, meaning, you know, approved with no change, you know.
Any comments?
Yeah, Chuck, I'd like to make a comment. I see the advantage of creating the basic structure and the general text for a final document now. But if we start putting in the sections that we're still working on, then that means we're going to have to update them in two places. So I would not put anything into the final document until we know that it's all approved. And at that stage, I'd put in the clean version.
Thank you, Chuck. I totally agree. In my modest understanding, subtask 1 was already agreed. We haven't received any other comments, and we finished the document, I think, a month ago. So I think that could go. If someone disagrees, please let me know. And also, Krista's and Tonya's document, we can insist that people send comments that we haven't heard about them in this last, I think she sent it 2 or 3 weeks ago. And
yeah,
it was already agreed before.
Yeah, but, until we get confirmation from people that it's ready to go, I would say don't put it in the final document yet. Otherwise, we're going to be working in two different places and trying to synchronize those, and that just complicates Julie's work.
I totally agree. Okay. Any other comments, Claudio?
That all makes sense to me. I mean, I had sent a comment to the list recently about, and I know we sort of reviewed and approved the first subtask document, but I had sent something to the list recently, just, you know, I guess, you know, following that review process and some of our other discussions and the fact that the GNSO working group guidelines document had been posted for public comment, and I think we got an opportunity to see how they were presenting their recommendations. I had sort of taken a step back and looked at the document and our sort of our overall approach, and I had suggested to the list basically it was almost a comment in regards to just the way we were presenting the recommendations. And I had basically suggested that we amend some of the language to put it in, I think, a more digestible form and I think a form that's more consistent with the other implementation effort that's underway. So I don't know what the group, you know, thinks about that. And But that was something that I had just put on the table in terms of, and it would require, I guess, some changes to the first subtask one document in terms of just some of the language. And it's not really to change the intent of the language that we've agreed on. It's really just more to present it in a different way. That was really the only other item that I guess I would mention.
Claudio, this is Chuck. I hear you saying two things. One of them is format, and one of them is language. The format, if it, you know, that I would think would be a non-controversial issue if it's not too cumbersome a task. But the language, I would predict, would be more of a problem.
Yeah.
I suspect we'd then end up having to go back and see. So I have concerns about changing language because we had a terrible time agreeing on language as it was.
This is Olga. I somehow agree with Chuck. I think it's a good idea, Claudio, that you suggest this. But my concern is that we should finish someday with the document as an outcome. And Chuck, please let me know what happens if we don't finish our document by I already told Philip that we may not, and I think we won't be able to produce any outcome for subtask 2 until the near future, but not June the 1st. And I have to confirm this to Philip. But what happens if we don't send them an outcome for June the 1st? We have been working on this for 1 year and a half, I think, or more.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's the end of the world, okay?
No, I know.
I think that, the council can deal with that. And the OSC can deal with that, but we shouldn't give up on that yet. It's a ways before June 1st, so I think we should cross that bridge when we get closer to it. And in the meantime, still try and achieve that goal. If we don't, and this group probably would raise controversy, if we don't, I would suggest we may want to, send what we have forward, task one. Send all of task one, so at least that can move forward while we finish task two. Now, I know we seem to have a great deal of problem with that, or some people did, the last time we separated our work, but that's one alternative. But again, my suggestion is let's deal with that when we get a little closer and see that we're definitely not going to make it.
Okay.
Olga?
Yes, who's there?
It's Michael.
It's Tony.
I'm sorry to be late.
Michael, Tony, good morning.
Well, actually, I was on, but I keep getting dropped off by the operator because it's an echo on my line. But I'm back now. I hope there's no echo now.
I hear you very well, Tony.
Okay,
thank you for joining. Hi, Michael. Thank you for joining.
Hi. I'll be on mute most of the time. I'm in a noisy environment.
Okay, no problem. We were just discussing about if we can comply with the date suggested by the OSC for sending our outcome document, which is June the 1st. We were talking about that. And how can we work on our document from now on? Okay, I suggest that we go to the text and try to work. I need some help in finding. We had some wording in part. We are talking about task one, subtask two report. We have worked in several parts of the document, but we still have. There was some text sent by Mary Wong from the NCUC, and please, Julie, help me remember where that text applied to. I think it was some part of executive committees or committees. I cannot recall in this moment. Rafik is not on the call, right?
Olga, it's Julie. So we had asked, Rafik had asked Mary Wong if she had alternative language for section 2, subsection 8 policy. where it talks about policy committee meetings should be open for attendance by all group members and an election constituency to the public. But I think there was also quite a bit of discussion on whether or not term limits applied to policy, I'm sorry, to policy committees as well. I can pull up the language that Rafiq sent quickly if we want to consider it, if you'd like.
I think we should start from there because I think it's one of the first parts of the document that still has to be reviewed. Am I correct or am I missing something before?
Well, Olga, this is Julie. So we did have quite a bit of discussion on that Section 8, but we had, but, you know, Rafi could agree that he should check back with Mary.
Okay. So, Julie, help me again. Where can we start discussing the document now? Because the wording sent by Mary corresponds to which section?
8, I believe. 8 policy. But I pull up that message just very quickly, and I'm sorry I didn't have it available, but I wasn't quite sure where you wanted to start, so I just want to make sure I have it here.
No, maybe I'm mistaken because I have seen comments about previous parts.
We have comments in a lot of areas. Go ahead, Chuck. Maybe you can clarify.
Olga, let me make a suggestion.
Sure.
I think for 2 weeks now we've been grappling with where term limits apply, and I think it's time we put a stake in the ground and find out where everybody's at.
Yes.
If I understand it correctly, there are basically 3 positions that have been espoused. One of them is term limits apply to everything. any group that's formed, policy committee, whatever that is, and most of us don't even have them, and they seem to be really informal. Whatever. The second position is that it only applies to counselors and officers. I think that's the second position. Is that right, Claudio?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And then the third position is a compromise that I suggested. That is that term limits apply to counselors, to officers, and to executive committee members. Now, some of those, depending on the structure, individual structure, may overlap, but that that's okay. The bottom line, that was my compromise position. And so it might be helpful if we just find out where each person is right now. And then I think we need to put a stake in the ground. If we can't come to some sort of a consensus position, we can propose the alternatives and let the OSC deal with it, and then ultimately the council.
Thank you, Chuck. Great suggestion. Which part of the text is this one, Julie? Because I'm totally lost with the document. Sorry. My apologies.
Actually, I think it'll probably, Olga, I think that it probably will cover multiple sections of the text because...
Yeah, that's my problem. I'm trying to find
The way it's structured right now, we deal with those different things in different places in the document, if I'm understanding it correctly. Is that right, Julie?
Yes, Chuck, this is Julie, that's correct. I mean, it could fall under executive committees, it can fall under committees, it could fall under, you know, policy, any number of places, election.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Julie. So Chuck made a suggestion about 3 different views. Any comments to that?
This is Tony. I think Chuck made a good suggestion.
Now, one of the things that this is illustrating is that the length and complexity of the structure of this document is really not ideal at all. So, if we can agree on principles, for example, if we can agree on which one of these 3 options or any other option we support, then we could actually have a section on term limits and specify what our position is and not have it occur in multiple places. But that we can deal with that later.
Okay. So about the 3 different approaches that Chuck explained, Can we know which is the sense of the working team at this moment? Any comments, any ideas of what we want to, because we want to make recommendations. That's our task.
Can I get in the queue, Tony?
Sure, Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember the three that Chuck said correctly, but I think I would lean to number two. Chuck, would you like to restate it to make sure I understood correctly?
Okay. Number one was term limits apply to any committees or any groups formed and people associated. Number two was just council members, and actually I don't even know if we need to deal with council members because that's covered. Is that covered in the already covered in with regard to councilors? I'm not. I think it is. Maybe not. Counselors, officers, and executive team members. Oh, no, excuse me. Counselors and officers is number two. And number three was counselors, officers, and members of the executive committee.
Could I ask for clarification, Chuck? You have two levels of executive committee. You have the executive committee on the stakeholder group, and then you have within the constituencies. They may not all be called the same, but at least in our constituency, we do have an executive committee. I think they're two different things.
Yeah, and throughout, I think, this document, we're making recommendations, at least so far, maybe that could change, that it apply to constituencies and stakeholder groups.
That would be number two?
That would be, well, number two
no.
is just,
oh, just
officers.
Counselors.
Of constituencies and stakeholder groups and counselors. Okay.
Well, but
number two plus members of executive committees for constituencies and stakeholder groups.
Well, I'm sorry, I lost you. But okay, I'll stand back. I'll wait.
Let's make sure it's clear, Tony. I'm sorry, I'm not communicating it very well. So the only difference between number two and number three is number three includes executive committees. And so far, when I've been talking about executive committees, I'm talking about executive committees of stakeholder groups and constituencies.
Mm. Okay, but then number three would look pretty much like number one.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, because what we've been talking about on the list is that number one would include anybody that's a member of a policy committee, has term limits. Anybody that's a member of any other committee or subgroup that a constituency or stakeholder group would form would also have term limits. It's, number one is extremely broad.
Okay, Chuck, just for clarity purposes, since I may not, our opinion might not fit in with any of the three, perhaps you could have a number four, which I would propose would be simply the term limits should apply to councillors and officers within the stakeholder groups and exclude constituency from this. I think the story within constituency borders should be different.
So you think that constituencies should only have should not have term limits at all?
Yep.
Okay. I think that's the fourth option then.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I say constituencies, I mean the constituencies from their frontier inwards. Once they step out into the stakeholder group or the council, then they're under the term limit arrangements. Okay? Just to make that perfectly clear.
So, Tony, this is Olga. Let me understand your proposal. Is that constituencies in between them, we are suggesting or are recommending that they don't have term limits for their members.
Well, perhaps I haven't stated that correctly. I'm not saying that everybody should recommend this. This is just my opinion. But I think that the term limits should not be specified for constituency, let's say, in-house arrangements. Okay? The structure of the constituency inwards does not have term limits. The term limits apply when you're participating in the stakeholder group or you're a council member, okay?
Okay, that's a fourth option. Any other comments, Claudio or Michael?
Let's check that with the BGC recommendations just for a moment. Okay. Now.
Yeah, that'd be helpful, Chuck. I could be very wrong.
Yeah, and I'm don't have them in front of me right now, but maybe others can help. The BGC recommendation was specifically that constituencies have term limits on what?
I think it was officers.
Officers. And that applied to constituencies. In fact, they specifically said constituencies in that case. So we might, Tony, with part of your recommendation, we might be actually going against what the BGC recommended.
Well, in that case, it's okay. I'll back down from that. If that's what the BGC recommends, okay, so be it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, and I just want to bring that up so we don't get in a situation where we go down this path and we come back and somebody finds that it goes against a BGC recommendation. So,
I'm okay with that.
But still, Tony, I think you're saying something beyond just officers. Anything beyond officers, you're saying there should, within a constituency, in contrast to a stakeholder group, there would not be term limits, is what you're suggesting.
Well, we've debated this to death, I think, already about sometimes you don't have all the people you want to keep renewing these positions. But that's okay if that's what the BGC says. We'll go along with that.
Well, sorry to be talking so much, but let me throw out a way to deal with that I've been thinking about the last couple of days. Okay, so let's say we went with either option two or option three, which is basically, I think, Claudio's or version or my compromise that included the executive committees. What if we had an exception clause that had to be approved by the constituency membership according to their procedures, so that when there is a case, and I understand that there will be cases when people just won't volunteer and you're in a situation, we've all dealt with that and we'll deal with it again even as membership expands. Why don't we just put in an exception? The requirement is term limits for whichever groups we decide, with an exception clause that has anything that varies from that needs to be approved by the membership.
I thought we had that in there. Sorry. Michael, can I get back to you?
Sure. Are you finished, Chuck?
Yes. Sorry. That took too long.
Can I get in the queue?
No, that's okay.
Although this is funny.
Yeah, so I have Michael and Claudio. And Tony, you want to be in the queue also?
Yeah.
Okay. Michael, go ahead, please.
So, as far as I understand, the last language that we did actually allows for an exception. And really the question on the table is how far, what include, the term limits plus the exceptions we've already built into the language, how far does that apply? And so, Chuck, I think the exception mechanism is already stated in there from our previous edits. I would really, I'm leaning more and more toward two, just for the cleanliness of it, and because I think, and by that I mean I think it's in compliance with the BCG recommendation. I was thinking your compromise on three until you pointed out the direction of the BCG again, and now I think we have to go with two based on that.
Well, you have to be careful. Let me qualify, Michael, the BGC recommendation. Keep in mind that there was no such thing as a stakeholder group when the BGC made their recommendations.
Right, but I'm thinking more about the policy committees and so forth that the groups may form.
Yeah, but that's in option one, not in option three.
Right. So I'm a little torn on that because I think the spirit of it is the control position. So can someone effectively assert control over a stakeholders group or a constituency for an extended period of time? And the idea of the term limit is to make sure that there's not a sacrificed extended control over an influential body, but that representation rotates reasonably. And we have to balance that with willingness to participate and quality of participation. So I look at that and I think, well, you know, really the whole thing around, you know, subgroups formed within or policy committees associated really wasn't referred to. So, and stakeholders groups we really know are an equivalency to constituency, and it's really nomenclature more so than something, you know, fundamentally new. So, you know, I'm not worried about that being introduced, Chuck, but I don't know whether or not we should be stepping into the question of term limits on people participating in policy committees.
I don't think we should. Michael, you're still not, I don't think, getting option three. The only thing different between option two and option three is it includes executive committees, which is a new concept in all of the stakeholder group charters, and some constituencies have those things as well.
Well,
and
then I'm okay with three. If that's the case, then that's the limitation. I'm okay with three.
Okay, that's what I wasn't following. Okay, now, executive committees in some cases are just going to be counselors and officers. But in the case of the registries, for example, that is not the case. We have a vice chair that's not a that may not be a counselor, is not a counselor right now, and is, you know, I guess that would be considered an officer. So maybe I'm wrong in that regard. Our executive committee includes a treasurer. That's also an officer. So maybe I'm wrong. Let me ask that question, and I'm sorry to belabor this, but let's get it straight once and for all. Do any executive committees that anybody is aware of on this call include any people other than officers or counselors?
Chuck, this is Claudio. It's possible the NCUC might. I know they recently redid their charter and stuff, so I'm not sure, but I think it's a possibility.
But regardless, it seems to me if we include executive committees, it's not very different from option two. It might be include one or two people in certain cases, so it doesn't seem like a hard compromise.
Are you finished, Chuck?
I hope so.
Oh, Claudio, you were in the queue after Michael, and then it's Tony.
You know, because I was going to comment on the executive committee term limit, and what I was going to say was so there is an executive committee on the stakeholder group level, and there isn't on, I mean, there's no requirement that exists on the constituency level.
Right.
And so, in a weird way, you know, because I think if we, so there might be, and there's also differences because in the non-contracted, in the contracted party house, there's no constituencies. And so I guess it's possible that we can make that rule, say there's a term limit for executive committees. In the contracted party house, it would apply there, but it's possible. It would not apply on the constituency level if a constituency did not have a stakeholder group. If a constituency did not have an executive committee. It just seems incongruent a little bit to me. I was going to recommend, like, maybe we could just have a term limit for the executive committee at the stakeholder group level and not have it at the constituency level, since it's not really part of the constituency structure. But I just wasn't sure if that would be incongruent because, again, I don't know if that's really equal because it might put a greater burden on the contracted side since, you know, they operate through the stakeholder group structure. So that's where I kind of got stuck a little bit with the term limits on the executive committees. It's just because it's not an equal. It's not an equal structure throughout all these different groups.
Thank you, Claudio. Tony?
Yeah, I'm thinking, Olga. I'll keep silent for a while.
Okay. No problem.
Olga, this is Julie. I apologize.
Yeah.
I was disconnected from the call, and nothing happened with my phone, so I'm not sure why that was. But I apologize. I missed a couple of minutes.
Don't worry. We are talking about possible text about term limits.
And I think we're really close, Olga, to something.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to propose if we can drop something here in the call. Chuck, would you repeat what you suggested and see if we agree in the text?
Well, before I do that, let's make sure. So, what I heard Claudio just say is that have term limits for counselors and officers, and for executive committees at the stakeholder group level, but not necessarily at the constituency level because they may not apply there. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's my position too, Tony, here.
Yeah.
And do any constituencies have executive committees?
The ISPs do.
Oh, okay.
Michael, are you okay with that vision, with that idea, with this idea?
I think so.
Okay, so we should find a text that includes this idea of term limits for counselors, officers, for executive committees at stakeholder groups, not at the constituency level. Okay.
No, at stakeholder group level.
Okay.
Now I predict that we're going to get objection from Victoria on that. In fact, I can count. I think we can count on that. Now, anybody disagree with that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I would bet on that. Yeah.
So we need to at that point. I think poll the group and see where it comes out and put a minority position or put something like that rather than to continue to debate this issue.
I speak, Olga, when you're
sure,
finished?
Sure, go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, what I was just trying to convey in the email, but of course I got immediately rejected by a certain party, was that in the case of the ISP constituency, the executive committee is not a policy body. It's just a coordination group which keeps the constituency functioning. It does not form policy or do anything like that.
That's an important point to make clear, Tony. That's good.
Yeah. It's just an operational body to make sure that, things move forward, that we respond to everything we have to respond, and that the members are kept on board on exactly everything that's happening and have a chance to provide input. But the policy work is conducted at the stakeholder group level and within the council.
Now, if there is, and I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, but if there is an executive committee in some constituency that actually is involved in policy decisions, does that change the position?
Well, yeah, and actually what we could then do is think of some other, some way to differentiate both functions, the operational from the policy.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Okay.
Or let's say the functional more than the operational, the functional from the policy.
Could we try to draft something? We have 15 minutes.
Well, Julie, do you have a good grasp of the of what we're talking about that you could maybe develop something offline?
This is Julie. I can certainly try. I think I've got it. We do have language with respect to term limits as an example that Claudia had proposed. It's in Section 4, but just if we are talking about term limit, just the term limit language, and then I can get to the point about to where it applies to which of the pieces it applies, option 3, I guess, we're talking about. Claudio had said, no person shall serve in the same group leadership position for more than 4 consecutive years. A grandfather clause shall cover those volunteers currently serving in leadership positions. any exception to this policy would require approval by the membership. Does that language still stand as far as my using that for the term limit section?
Yeah, and then it applies.
And then there would be like a, that would could be A, and then B could be term limits apply to in stakeholder groups to counselors, officers, and executive committee officers. Is that
just executive committee members?
Members, okay. And in constituencies, well, constituency stakeholder groups. I'm not sure we want to say that.
Okay. Well, you're really close. All you need for constituencies, it applies to counselors and officers.
Counselors and officers, but we were talking about. And then what do we want to say per Tony? Except for those constituencies executive committees that
are involved in policy work.
That
policy decisions. Policy decisions, I think, is what it needs to be. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, keeping in mind that this will be the one section that mixes groups. I mean, if we say, I guess we'll have to say, okay, there's the term limits piece. Every place else in the document, we've changed everything to groups because that covers both stakeholder groups and constituencies. Here, we're parsing them out and saying there's the term limits and they apply, and then we're talking about stakeholder groups and constituencies. I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong, but I'm just saying that that will be an exception to the rule in the document as far as the terminology.
Well, perhaps, Julie, we could put in some sort of sentence that says that committees and substructures, or I don't know what the term might be there, that are organized within constituencies for functional purposes would not be subject to term limits. For functional non-policy purposes. Or non-policy making purposes.
Well, but we're actually not including some policy, like a policy committee, for example. What we're proposing now, Tony, would not include policy committees either. It's
okay.
Only at the executive team level where we're excluding it if it's a non-policy function.
Okay. I'm happy with that, yeah. Forget what I said.
I'll send language around. I imagine, it'll need some tweaks, but it'll be a new section, term limits, and then I'm guessing if we do that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, then we will take out the term limits language where it appears elsewhere, because we have it in a couple of different places.
I would support that.
Okay.
Have a section on term limits that covers this, and then the term limits aren't needed in all the individual areas. Does that work?
Yeah, that's my
yes.
question. I'm guessing that we probably want to then make that probably number one in part two, because then, because immediately thereafter we go into executive committees and we start talking about term limits. So if we make part two, one, being term limits, and we talk about that, then the next item would be two, executive committees, and then we just talk about what executive committees do, but we don't have to talk about term limits.
That's good. Now, do we really need that grandfather clause?
No.
I know there's been objections to that.
I don't think we do, Chuck. This is Claudio. I suggested that. I think, honestly, I suggested it when I was sort of caught in the almost a defensive reactionary position to some of the...
Understand.
I agree.
Can I make another comment, Olga?
Sure, go ahead, Tony.
Just in terms of parsing out like the role that the executive committee has in terms of policy functions or the other functions, I think it might be a little difficult to do that. It might be just cleaner, I think, to just
just, you know, have it apply to the executive committee at the stakeholder group level, and just sort of leave it at that. My other comment was going to be just sort of a process question I had in terms of because, you know, it seems like we are getting pretty detailed with the recommendations. And so I was wondering, you know, when the OSC comes to review this and just how we're presenting this material to them, I just wasn't sure what the process was going to look like at that point if we're sort of presenting this as a package, but I guess it's always possible that the OSC might look at the recommendations and accept some and not accept others. And that's sort of related to my other question, which was, I noticed the working group guidelines team had put their document out for public comment, and I was wondering if we thought, you know, there'd be value in doing that with these two documents, or any of them for that matter.
I think it depends, Claudio, on how much work that's going to take to do. You know, assuming that the basic substance stays the same, if it's going to take a lot of time, we probably don't have a lot of time. If it can be done fairly simply, and if somebody wants to volunteer to try to do that, I think that might work. But again, we're on a time crunch because our particular working team is taking longer than any others, I think.
And what about at the OSC level, Chuck? Do you have a sense of, like, how the OSC might consider these recommendations?
Well, I think, first of all, the OSC, is, from a general point of view, is going to be bothered by the length of this document and possibly by the detail as well. But maybe what we can do is, once we get through the substance, which we're trying to do, you know, quickly here in the next few meetings, maybe if we can step back and say, okay, we've got the substance, how could we present this in a much more concise and usable fashion? I think that whether that be like the working group model or something else, I don't know that that's so important, but I think right now we may find that we can present the whole package much more efficiently than we're doing the way it's structured right now, but that'll be easier to do once we finish the substance.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Thank you, Chuck. And you raised something that I have been thinking from the last week and yesterday night. I read all the exchange of comments in the list. Do we know which are the substance issues that we want to revise in the working team? Because if we focus on them, like, for example, term limits, and other things, then we can go to the document and try to, I personally find it a long document, and I personally find concepts repeated from different perspectives in different parts of the document, which for me, it's confusing.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Olga,
exactly.
That let's finish going through it. You know, fix the things we need, and then let's go back and take a holistic view and say, how can we organize this much
exactly.
more concisely and efficiently?
I agree. But my point is, in this last minute, could we perhaps exchange some ideas about which are the main issues that we still have to decide about? It's term limits. We already have a text that we will show it to the rest of the working team. Are other issues that are worrying us, like elections or some other things
yeah.
that have been exchanged?
I have one.
Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, we had a discussion some time back about, it's called Annex B, the one about relations with ICANN staff.
I think we deleted it. Huh?
No, has it been
it
deleted?
Annex A?
Let me check.
Actually, Olga, this is Julie. No, we deleted Annex A.
Okay.
There had been suggestions, as Tony notes, in the sub-team level to delete Annex B, but Annex B formed part of the remainder of the document that work team members were asked to review since the last meeting.
Annex B is about code of practice for constituencies' relation with ICANN staff work. Is that what you're talking about, Tony?
Yeah, the one where you know, they tell us we have to put on a nicely pressed suit and a tie, when we address an ICANN staff member and be
what's
sure to be very polite and everything. And it seemed like a little bit like schoolboy literature to me. But I do think we had a discussion at the Seoul meeting, at the face-to-face meeting, and everybody at the table thought it was a good idea to forget it.
Okay, so your suggestion is that we take it off, out.
Well, a lot of people said let's take it out.
Okay.
At Seoul, I don't know if they still think the same, but
I remember
that was
that
was an overall consensus, 100%.
Okay, I think I agreed with that. I really cannot recall. I should take the minutes of that meeting in this moment. I don't remember. But, Julie, could we check that? And if we agreed in that, we should strike it through.
Olga, this is Julie. Yes, during that discussion, Tony's correct. Those members present in Seoul agreed to delete Annex B. That was, of course, prior to this. You know, these meetings where we've been discussing, Task 1, Subtask 2 in great detail, but I think this would be the point, again, to make that recommendation if those on the call here agree.
Okay. So let's, in the next Word document, include it and strike it through and see if we comply with what we already agreed. Any other big issue that we have to think about the document right now?
Olga, this is Julie. I did pull up the email that Rafiq sent that had the language from Mary Wong on item 8 policy. She had quite a bit of text there. I don't know if you want, we're at the end of the hour here, but I wasn't sure if there was a consensus as to whether or not the team members wanted to include that in the
A quick question in that regard. Is it still relevant considering what we just decided with regard to term limits?
Well, it doesn't have to do with term limits, though. It's open. It's the attendance at policy.
Openness.
And she says it's really quite lengthy. So I don't know if
maybe we should take the next week and look at it again.
Maybe I'll send it around.
And comment. Yeah, could you highlight it perhaps in an email so we could all input on it?
Okay. And I have
to
jump off.
To
I will talk to you later. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
Olga, before we finish the call, I have a
yes.
proposal to make.
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm thinking, of Chuck. If Chuck's at home, what time is it? At 6 in the morning or something? Well,
I think Chuck left.
Okay, I'm thinking about, we never have Krista on the calls, but I think she lives in Seattle, and it's probably when we have our call, it's 5 in the morning or something. Is there any reason why we could not have this call a little later during the day? Because, I mean, even for somebody in Europe, it's still early if we have it 2 hours later or something.
Okay,
Tony,
could I address that question?
Sure, just one comment from my side. I have no problem either of the two, earlier or later. For me, it's okay. Julie, go ahead.
Tony, Krista actually had indicated that this time, this particular time works for her. It was when we had switched to an earlier time at 8 o'clock in the morning, which was 5 o'clock for her, that was difficult. She had, in fact, she was on the last call that we had at this time, so I don't know if she has a particular conflict.
Well, I'm not sure, but I noticed she's not often able to participate. That may not be the reason, and I think it's probably not fair to Chuck also, because I think he lives on the West Coast.
Right, but he also has conflicts at other times during the day.
Okay.
The point I want to make is that while it might seem that we have options for other times in the day on Fridays, we do have now, I think, close to 20 other policy calls. Glenn can probably confirm how many we have. It makes it extremely difficult for staff to be able to, and the secretariat to be able to cover these calls if we change the time now, because we've basically coordinated this time to fit within all of our other calls. So I'm not sure that we could easily change the time at this point.
Okay. I withdraw my proposal.
I try to suggest if we can, you know, if at very least I'd like to try to keep it on the same day because making a day change would be difficult. I could ask the work team members if they had, you know, and Kristen particularly, if she had a time that might work for her later in the day on Friday. And Chuck, I know he has a lot of calls too, so he could say, I know he has a standing call at this time, you know, that's why he was leaving, and I normally have a standing call at
okay.
this time, so I wouldn't be able to do it 1 hour later. I might
Julie,
later.
Please, I withdraw my proposal. I realize
it's
going to complicate things.
It's a lot more complicated.
I was just hoping, you know, we could probably have, you know, ease their life.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you if there weren't some other factors we had to deal with.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay, thank you. If we can wrap up, Julie, could you please help us? It doesn't have to be today. It could be during the week or Monday. Preparing a Word document with this subtask 2 content so we can I think that it could be useful if we can add some language in the document so we can start finishing the part that we still have to review. If you could add, Mary, language in the 8, B, or C, and this language about term limits, as we already agreed in the document, that would be great.
Okay,
and,
we'll see if we can come up with something.
I'm
sure it'll provoke a big argument, but I'll try and do it.
Yeah, I will suggest that I will send today the action items, and I will also send today the suggested language for a new term limit section and ask the work team members to respond. And I'll also send Mary Wong's suggestion for 8 policy. And I will, not today, but as one of my action items, probably on Monday, I will produce a Word text of task 1, subtask 2 for us to now begin to finish our review. And also we'll send around again, the document Krista sent, task 3, and we could maybe just get a confirmation from team members that they have no changes to that document.
Okay.
Okay, great. And so we revise the document, and we talk again next Friday.
Right, next Friday. And I will ask work team members if they have suggestions for other times. If there is another time that people coalesce around, I can coordinate with Glenn to see if there's an opening there.
Okay, thank you so much, Julie, for your help. Thank you, everyone, for joining, and
okay.
Have a nice weekend.
Thank you, you too.
You too. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.